Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
I got to a stage where I completely hit rock bottom, no pun intended with the wrestling thing, but where I completely hit rock bottom and, you know, I contemplated suicide. It was just like very, very dark time in my life. And then the movie wasn't going to get released. Like, it got put on hold for a second because they just thought, what's going to happen to this girl, you know? And so, I mean, thankfully, you know, I picked myself up and, you know, and it's really crazy. It's all mostly like, you know, having the support system that I had was really important. I'd always say community is such a big importance when it comes to addiction and dark times, you know. Just getting rid of the people that weren't good for me and surrounding myself with people that really were good for me. And then having a company like WWE back then that was so supportive.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very exclusive treat. You might have heard of her and her unique story as the inspiration behind the incredible movie Fighting With My Family, which is one of my personal favorites, Big Facts. She is wrestling royalty as a two-time WWE Divas Champion and the youngest ever, as well as the inaugural NXT Women's Champion in WWE's developmental branch, NXT No Big Deal. She's the person to have held both championships at the same time, and her impactful main roster debut in the WWE will never be matched, in my personal opinion. She made her wrestling debut at age 13 in her family's wrestling promotion and went on to hold a plethora of championships on independent circuits within Europe, eventually debuting in the juggernaut machine WWE. After taking some time off due to injury, she recently signed with All Elite Wrestling in 2022 and has made one of the most exciting and enthusiastic returns in the history of the business. Her ability to capture the souls and hearts of her fans is second to none, and she is a trailblazer who changed the perception of women's wrestling forever. She's just a juggernaut in all facets of life and a badass human. Please welcome the resilient, dynamic, beautiful, and charismatic, a beacon of inspiration, Saraya.
Oh my gosh, hell of an intro, dude. You make me sound way cooler than what I am. My God. No, I appreciate it. I don't know if this is recorded or whatever, like face-wise, that is.
Yeah.
Just to let everyone know watching right now, again, I'm in the middle of moving house. I wish I was a little bit more presentable, especially after that big grand intro just now. Just bear with me though. But thank you for having me. I'm really excited
to be on here again.
Just hearing your story is just inspiring in itself. So that's really freaking awesome.
Thank you for saying that. And for the audience, listen, we connected before we hit record and I was kind of giving her some context and so forth. And I was letting her know I've been watching her journey for quite some time too. For our listeners now, in case you're not familiar, my best suggestion is do a deep dive. Check out all the stuff she's got going on, all the stuff she has going on. And I think what's most valuable today is we just have an unbelievable conversation. But before we dive in, we're going to get a little weird. You ready for me?
Sure. Yeah.
Ray, what is your superpower?
What is my superpower? Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted to have a superpower or
no, your actual one. Your actual one.
I'm not afraid to be myself. That's a superpower, I feel like. I've never tried to conform to what people would want me to be. I've always just tried to be myself wholeheartedly and physically, emotionally, you know. And I feel like that is an important superpower to have. And plus, if I did have an actual superpower, it would be to, what's the word? A teleport.
That would be a cool one.
Yeah, because my superpower is not patience and I do not like being on planes.
Understood. And I want to acknowledge you for a second because a word that comes to mind when you were just describing that was authentic and authenticity. And you totally changed the game in the wrestling industry. And it's funny because I know your story quite well. And in the beginning, they kind of wanted you to maybe fit in a little more. And ironically, you stood out because you looked different. You behaved a little bit different. And now that we look back, because you can only connect dots looking backwards, that's what was really the key to your success was you were unique. You were special. You were different. And that's what one of the reasons that made you a star. And for me, when I made my reinvention, like I was telling you about, for the first time in my life, when I stepped into this, I had no experience. I promised myself that for the first time in my life, I'd show up as the real, raw, authentic Craig, not a people pleaser, nothing. And ironically enough, the whole audience and community really gravitated towards that. I think being authentic is one of the most courageous and bold things anyone could ever do.
Oh, 100%. And people are inspired by that too. And they, like you said, they relate to it on such a deeper level than just someone that you can just tell they're not being themselves. Like you can always tell.
So obvious.
You can always tell people who are not real and who are just like, but there's so many people out there, especially in wrestling, that are themselves and like yourself, where you're completely yourself too. Like people thrive when they're like that. Like people, you have such a bigger fan base and a fan base that's so loyal to you because of that too. You know, I have a fan base that are incredible, like from the very beginning of my career to up until now, where they've followed me everywhere, you know, and anything I do, because, you know, you're just yourself and they love that.
Yeah. And I think that one of the coolest parts of your stories, and I know it probably didn't feel like it when you were going through it, but some of the dark times that you've been through, and now the fans and the audience has seen you get to the other side. And like, that's relatable because spoiler alert, everybody goes through some shit. Some handle it. Not everyone's in the public light, so to speak, but to go through it and then overcome it is what really connects with people.
Yeah. And for people that aren't familiar, like I went through, just so I can explain, like I went through a stage in my life for about a year and a half where, you know, I was doing drugs. I was drinking heavily. Like I had a problem with addiction then. But also, you know, I was getting suspended from my work and then I wasn't in the most healthiest of relationships. Like that was very public knowledge back then. I had some tapes that were released of me, sexual tapes that were released of me from when I was 19, all in the same year and a half. And I got to a stage where I completely hit rock bottom, no pun intended with the wrestling thing, but where I completely hit rock bottom and, you know, I contemplated suicide. It was just like very, very dark time in my life. And then the movie wasn't gonna get released. Like it got put on hold for a second because they just thought, what's gonna happen to this girl, you know? And so I mean, thankfully, you know, I picked myself up and, you know, and it's really crazy. It's all mostly like, you know, having the support system that I had was really important. I'd always say community is such a big importance when it comes to addiction and dark times, you know, just getting rid of the people that weren't good for me and surrounding myself with people that really were good for me. And then having a company like WWE back then that was so supportive.
Bang. It brings me great joy, gratitude, and teary eyes to announce we just signed a massive book deal with the iconic Wiley Publishing. I certainly don't know everything, but one thing I do know is how to reinvent yourself, including both your career and identity, to achieve spectacular success in a short amount of time. You see, CLS was not an overnight success. I have been studying all sorts of personal development, emotional intelligence, psychology, NLP, the law of attraction, Kabbalah, historic figures, and documenting my studies in journals for 15 years. This, combined with interviewing the world's greatest high achievers, I have now taken all this wisdom and articulated into one single vessel called the Reinvention Formula, how to unlock a bulletproof mindset and upgrade your life, which is now available for pre-order anywhere you buy books, including Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Grab your copy today and allow the elevation, upgrades, and understanding of how to think and play bigger begin. Thank me later, you dig.
And then also fans. I saw this little girl when I went into a grocery store and I was getting alcohol there and I looked like shit. I had this big fucking mat in my hair. I don't know if we can cuss on here, but I had this huge mat in my hair. I wasn't taking care of myself. I lost so much weight. People were online talking about how skinny I was. And yeah, I just looked awful. And then, and she just thought I was this superhero, right? She just thought, oh my gosh, it's Paige. She's wonderful. And like, I just looked like a mess. And I looked at her and I was just like, man, she doesn't read the internet. She's not even close to the internet right now, but she thinks I'm her hero. You know, she thinks I'm like this incredible person. And I'm like, I need to get my shit together for people like her, you know, like kids like her who are looking up to me. And then I realized at that moment, like, I always thought a role model was somebody who was perfect. And that's not the case. A role model is somebody that's been through shit and came back out the other side. People who aren't perfect and embrace their imperfectness too, if that's even their imperfections, you know, it's just, that's the role model. And then I was like, kind of took the reins on that. And I was like, yes, I'm not perfect. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I know that's part of your story too. What a beautiful moment, right? Like, I coach a lot of people, high level CEOs and so forth. And I always tell them, like, if your ego starts to mess with you, like, it's not about you. It's about who you can help right now, who you can serve. And for that very moment, like, you forgot about all the stuff you were going through. And you're like, this little girl looks up to me. If I could just, if I could just show up and she feels good about it and she tells her friends and I made her day. And that's just one person. Obviously, you do that on a much bigger scale, but isn't that what it's all about? Like, for me, right now, like, the biggest ROI that I'll get is someone will breathe different oxygen because they heard you and I show up today and just be authentic. That's what it's all about.
Oh, you can change someone's day completely. Because I remember, like, you always remember the way people make you feel, right? You may not remember everything that's been said, everything that's been done, but you remember how someone makes you feel every single time. And I remember I was a kid. And I was like, this is like 90s, you know, and my mom and dad asked Emma Bunton for an autograph for me. And she said no, but she was giving autographs to all the other kids. And I remember that, even though I was a baby, I remember that to the point where, like, I said to myself, I would never do that ever again. And then there was this one point where I got to Europe and my dad came to visit me and he yelled at me that day because I was too tired to sign for everybody outside my hotel. And he yelled at me and he was just like, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be where you are. You know, like they, you know, he was just like so mad at me that I said, no, I was never mean to them. I was just so exhausted. But even when I'm exhausted now, like, I will always take time because, again, people will always remember the way you make them feel. And for that moment, that person was probably like, why won't she sign up for me? And then it took me back to that Emma Bunton moment where I was like, yeah, like, that made me feel bad. I'm sure that made that person feel bad. So I was like, no, I have to always remember.
That's
you just make someone's day like that. Within seconds, you can make or break somebody's day.
Yeah. And a word that comes to mind is gratitude. That will always shift your frequency. And you never forgot how that girl made you feel.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I was obsessed with the Spice Girls, you know? And so I was
Spice
like,
Girl.
Yeah, it was Baby Spice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, that's not very nice of Baby Spice. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, first of all, I was always a Sporty Spice fan anyway. But I was just, I was absolutely devastated. I was just like, oh my gosh. And like, it just really disappointed me. And my mom and dad are like, they were just like, well, fuck off then. You know what I mean? Like, they just saw how sad it was and they were just as disappointed as me. But yeah. Either way, like, I remember the way she made me feel. And I everyone has a bad day. I understand as well. Like, I realize being on this side of the coin, like, people are not going to be on all the time, but I try my best to always be like grateful and happy to be around certain fans, even if they're at your airport, at the airport, like 4 a.m, or, you know, as soon as you get to your hotel, they're like right there. It's just, they're excited to see you. And I understand that. The only thing I don't like is when they bring you a shit ton of stuff to sign so they can sell. Like, they're not even really a fan of you. They're just like, sign all this stuff. And someone even was just like, so what do you do? Even they have pictures of me. And I'm like, bro, I ain't signing shit for you. You know what I mean?
Understood. Yeah. Look, there's so many places we could take this conversation. I really suggest the audience to do a deep dive in case they weren't familiar. Check you out, all the stuff that you've been through and all the wrestling matches, all that stuff. But right now, we can't not talk about your back.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, there was a 5-year gap in between wrestling?
Yeah. So I had two neck injuries. So I had two different surgeries. My second surgery, the second injury I had took me out. I was not allowed to wrestle ever again. They told me I was never going to wrestle.
Sasha Banks?
It was, yeah. So it was at a house show, which is a non-televised event. And
in Long Island, just by me.
Huh?
It was in Long Island, I think, by me.
Yeah. And so I was, it was just a freak accident. Wrestling. As strong as it was before, after the first surgery. Anyway, I lost feeling for from like in my arms and my legs, and I couldn't even stand up in the middle of the match. And I tried to keep going, but I was just like, this is it. Like, I can't, I'm paralyzed, you know? And it was just for a couple of minutes, and it was terrifying. But then the feeling started coming back, but I knew in my head, I was like, this is it. But at that moment too, I was like, I will not hit rock bottom again. There's no way I'm going to let myself hit rock bottom again. And so, you know, I, even though the next day I went to the doctor, they told me I'd never wrestle again, I never let that deter me from wrestling again. I was like, I will one day, even if this doctor's telling me I can't. They were like, if you get kicked in the neck, you'll be paralyzed. It was like that serious, you know? And so, yeah, so 5 years down the road, and then me and WWE parted ways, which I'm very grateful for my time that I had there. But it was time, you know, that I moved on anyway. But yeah, and then I got a call from Tony Khan in AEW, who's a wonderful boss and who I enjoy, you know, working for. And he was just like, I don't care if you can't wrestle or anything like that. He just wanted me to be part of the company. So I was signing up, not knowing like exactly what I was going to be doing, you know, but I was excited. I was like, I can help with the division. I can do these things, you know, this, see. And then he was like, this, get you checked out anyway. Let's see how that neck's doing, you know. And Halloween 2022, I went and got a CT scan, as well as an MRI, as well as x-rays. And yeah, they told me my neck was completely healed, and I couldn't believe it. That
Insane.
means that Dr. Uribe, my doctor that did my neck, he did such a, obviously a great job. And so I went to another doctor, Dr. Watkins, here in California, who's awesome. He does NBA players, he does huge A-list singers and actors and actresses. Like, he is like the top of his game, you know, and I wanted to go to like one of the very best, because I knew my doctor was going to be like, no, I've already done two surgeries, you know, even if my neck was healed. So I went to this doctor, and he was just like, I mean, your neck's fine. He was like, you're not going to get paralyzed if you get kicked back there. He was like, if you ever feel like anything, like you're like a little stiff or whatever, he was like, just take some time away, but you don't have to worry. He was like, your neck is great. And I could believe it. I cried my eyes out, because I, even though I was like, I will wrestle again, I didn't think it would actually happen. I was like, what? So it was just the most, it was the most emotional moment for me in my whole wrestling career. It was just wild.
Insane. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there was fluid around your neck now, and there used to not be.
Right. Yeah. So there's zero fluid around certain parts of my neck. So yeah, and that's like your protective, like, pillow around your spine to protect you from getting paralyzed, you know. And so yeah, the fluid was just, that was gone. It was like completely pinched.
So had you been getting checked like throughout that 5-year gap, or you kind of, I don't want to say gave up, but like put it on the back burner for now, and then
Yeah.
you said get checked out?
Yeah, so I put it on the back burner for a little bit. Just, I know we get checked up like every year and a half or whatever. I go get some x-rays, not MRIs though. I was just focusing more on building my Soraya brand rather than my Paige brand, because I was just like, okay, everyone's known me as Paige for so long. I can't wrestle anymore, so I might as well start, like, you know, figuring out other things that I can do as myself. And so yeah, I was just focusing more on that. And then once I had the opportunity to like really get checked out, I jumped on it, and I was like, absolutely, I'm intrigued to see where the process is at.
Yeah, crazy. And it's, to be honest with you, for me, like, it still sounds a little weird hearing you say Soraya as opposed to Paige.
Oh, I know. I still find it weird. I've been called Soraya with AW since like October. And even when people say it in the street to me, it's the most bizarre thing ever. I'm like, because I was always very strict with people not calling me Soraya. Like, I wanted people to call me Paige, because Soraya was like my thing, like my, like that's my personal life, that's me, like that's like a sacred thing for me. And then I was just like, I'm gonna be called Soraya, because first of all, like, no one can take that away from me, you know, they can't take my name and my brand away from me, because it's myself. And I love the name Soraya. Like, do you know the story of how I got my name Soraya?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think your mom might have been doing drugs or something like
Yeah.
that.
She was on an acid trip at a Slayer concert, and she just misheard Slayer for Soraya, and she was like, that's it, that's my daughter's name. Yeah, so yeah, and I love my name. I'm very fortunate. My mom was
Name.
absolutely like a drug addict, and it was great. thanks, mom. But yeah, so I was like, okay, but yeah, it's still very weird, like signing Soraya, it feels so weird. I always end up just signing Paige still. I'm like, oh, fuck
Really?
this. Yeah, it's easier.
It's so crazy to me that with everything that you've been through, also you started so early with the wrestling. You're correct me if I'm wrong, you just turned 30.
I turned 31 in August.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah.
31 years young. I'm just curious because you've accomplished so much and
Yeah.
basically never wrestled in 5 years. Is there something specific or that sticks out to you that you still want to accomplish in the wrestling business, or you just want to have some fun?
I want to have some fun. Like, I want to be a champ again for sure. I want to get the AEW Women's Championship. Like, that's like
Right.
something that I want to take out. Like, every person when they go into a company wants to take the championship. But I just want to keep, helping AEW make history, like going to the Wembley Stadium. That's such a big deal, a 90,000 cap stadium over there in my home country. And, just being a part of just, and AEW still so new. They have so much, like, they have so much left to give. And I feel very fortunate I get to be a part of that. But yeah, I just want to have fun. I want to build my brand as Saraya. I love the girls division here in AEW. Everyone is such a freaking sweetheart, let me tell you. They're awesome to be around. And yeah, I just want to have some fun.
Hell yeah. I feel like you really changed the dynamic and the paradigm of women's wrestling from WWE because you and kind of like AJ right before you were like, you guys weren't messing around. Like, you guys were divas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys were there to fight and compete. And it was badass and it was awesome. And before that, it had a whole different feel to it.
So, WWE went through stages where they would take women seriously, then they wouldn't take women seriously, then they would, but they would go off and on all the time. I mean, like, they were having matches with Alundra Blayze and Bull Nakano, and everyone thought, wow. They had matches with
What a
Liger and Trish
throwback.
Stratus. Oh, I love them. That was 92, I think. SummerSlam is one of my favorites of their matches. And then, you had Lita and Trish main event in Raw, and that was like a big deal. Most of the time, it was like they were looked at as sexual objects rather than taken seriously as wrestlers. And I know these women were good wrestlers. They just like that, like, they were never given the opportunity to do these things, and they needed, girls to come in and kind of just put their foot down and say, fuck this. This is what we want. We want to be taken seriously, And it kind of started in NXT, well, FCW at the time is what it was called, where I came in and they were doing bikini contests, and I fucking hated it, dude. Like, I was like, this is not why I'm here. And so, like, I went into the office, and it was Dr. Tom at the time. He was the boss down there. And I said, none of us want to do that anymore. And he was so receptive. He was like, sure. And then he gave us opportunities to do like Money in the Bank matches on these live events with like, 100 people in the crowd. But it was so much fun. Like, we can do these things. And then Triple H took over and created NXT. And then he was giving us opportunities to really showcase what we can do. And then on top of that, he's like, I'm giving you this opportunity, and it's up to you to take it. So, like, go in with that and creating these matches, and then selling out of my merch shirt. My first ever merch shirt sold out really quickly,
Hell yeah.
and it kind of like helped me get to the main roster. But then once you get to the main roster, you start from scratch again, because again, no one knows who you are. But at the same time, like, you're with Vince, and Vince is like, you need to wear purple, you need to be, wrestle like a girl, that kind of stuff. So we had to slowly start changing it. And Hunter, again, was always like really supportive of the women and wanted us to do all these things. But there's only so much he can do under Vince,
Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to nutritionsolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig? Yeah.
And then eventually, we just got sick of it because our time was getting cut and all these things were happening. It pissed us off. We were always the one that got cut first. And so I remember it was a tag match with me and Emma versus the Bellas, I believe it was. And it was just like our time had got cut to like 3 minutes or something like that. And we were like, you know what? Let's go even less.
Yeah.
Let's just go out there, do a diva roll up, and get the fuck out of there. You know what I mean? So we went out. And we were very quick. We came back, and I just remember Fit was our producer, and he was just like, oh my gosh, you still had like a couple minutes left. Like, what happened? We're just like, we just don't give a shit. We want to have our time. And then all of a sudden give divas a chance started trending.
I remember.
You know, for like 3 days straight where they had to like open their eyes and fucking look. And that's like, we owe a lot of it to the fans on social media to really take us seriously. Like they know we can do these things. They've seen us do these things.
Yeah.
And they were getting sick of us, our time getting cut and stuff like that. So I just feel like without the fans, maybe we wouldn't have got that far, you know? So I really appreciate them for that. I mean, we were kicking doors down, sure, but there's only so much we can do from the inside.
Yeah, that's a great point. And kudos to Triple H, right? For really mm-hmm. being supportive and let you guys kind of have the ball and running with it. Do you mm-hmm. still watch the WWE program? Like, did you catch WrestleMania by any chance?
Yeah, I still watch the pro. Like, again, me and WWE, like, we left on really good terms. Yeah. And, you know, I said before, Triple H was calling me, like, to, like, maybe come, you know, come back to the WWE. But my heart was going into AEW, like, something new, something, like, you know, where I feel like it could help a lot more, huh?
For now.
But no, I love AEW. I love it. And I was a little bit scared to get back to WWE, too, because, you know, there was a time where I was very restricted and I couldn't do very much. And I was sitting on my ass for years. And that wasn't for me. I'm not a girl that would just wants to sit around. I want to be active and do something.
Yeah.
Whether it be media, doing all this stuff, like I was willing to do whatever.
Yeah.
But no, they had me sitting around for years. And that's something that kind of put me off. And then, you know, I was like, okay, Hunt is in charge now. This is good. But now, like, you know, Vince is slowly, I knew he was going to end up coming back eventually, you know, and he's slowly integrating himself again, which is fine. Like, again, do your thing. But I believe I made the right choice going to AEW. Like, I love it there. Like, I have a new lease on life when it comes to wrestling. Like, I'm having fun with Ruby and Tony. Even if people talk shit, you know, I'm a heel. I don't give a fuck. But I am having fun. Like, I don't care if people hate the segment. I'm having fun. I'm having a great time. And like, I just love working with them. And you know, people can't rain on my parade anymore. Right. So
this is the perfect season for you. It's in alignment. Who knows what the future holds? The reason why I see about WrestleMania is because I always get back into it by like when like the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. It's the most fun. So the first night, the girls, I think, should have main evented it. Charlotte and what's her name?
Rhea?
Yes, Rhea.
Yeah.
That match was incredible.
They're great.
Guys' match was great too, but that match should have been the main event, in my opinion.
Oh, well, I feel like the girls always steal the show. Like when they get given the opportunity, like I said, like, of course the guys are good. They're good. But like the girls, they're constantly fighting, you know, like for like that. You know, they're constantly fighting for that respect and that, you know, and so they always have something to fight for. Where I feel like, you know, guy wrestlers, they're awesome, they're amazing and stuff like that. But of course, they're going to have multiple matches on the show. Right. You're not going to see a show where there's like 8 girls matches on 1 man's match, you know, like so being the females being the minority of the show, like they're just constantly like wanting to showcase like, hey, we can turn up and we can deliver, you know, and they're absolutely doing that. Like, I feel like the women's wrestling right now is just at an all-time high. I mean, you have AEW, you have WWE, you have Impact, you have Stardom, you know, the ladies in New Japan. They're all so incredible and we're at such a good place. And I'm so happy to be a part of it again.
Yeah. To be honest with you, this is straight off the cuff. I'm not trying to suggest anything, but I'd like to see you main event WrestleMania one day.
Man, I would like to main event any kind of like big show like that. I would be very fortunate. I want to do a stipulation match because I never got to do those in WWE, you know. So I feel like in AEW, there are a lot that, I mean, if you ask Tony, like, hey, we want to have a crazy match or whatever, he'd be like, sure, let's do it. You know, whatever is the crowd's going to love. But yeah, I always get told like people miss me in WWE, of course. Like some people won't be back in WWE. Some people like me in AEW, but again, right now, I'm very happy.
No, this is perfect for you because now you can kind of do your thing, build the Saray brand, spread your wings, and who knows
what the future holds. Exactly. Who knows what the future holds, you know. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how accurate was the movie and were you involved with the production at all?
Yeah, so when it comes to like Stephen Merchant is the one who wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
So with the story, like Stephen would call me every single day and ask with like, in detail, like, okay, what is this? Like, how did you feel here? Like, what did this feel like? What did you smell? Anything like, you know, like he was very like detailed. He even went down to the performance center, was getting in the ring and stuff. You know, he was like so hands-on with it because he wasn't really a huge wrestling fan. So he was like, if I'm going to write this, I have to know what I'm writing about, you know? So he was just very like invested in it, and he did such a great job. So of course there's some things that, you know, that is a little bit different and spiced up. I mean, the premise of the movie is accurate, you know, like that's how it went. With like some of the things, like, no, I didn't bleach my hair blonde overnight, but I did go a little bit lighter, you know. And no, my brother hasn't met The Rock yet, but they added The Rock to get people to want to watch the movie, you know. And but he is the one that told me the day before WrestleMania that I was going to debut and that he was going to make a movie on my life all in one day.
Favorite story.
That's my favorite story.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, I mean, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know what I mean? And he's telling you, I'm like 21 years old, and he's just like, hey, I got to make a movie about your life. And by the way, your dreams are going to be coming true tomorrow, but don't tell anyone, you know? And I'm like, oh,
because one day he had insomnia, right? And he was up late and he saw the documentary. And he's like, I got to make this into a Hollywood picture.
Yeah. So he was in the UK and he was filming Fast and Furious. And so thank God for insomnia, because he was awake and he stumbled across the documentary, and the documentary was called Fighter With My Family too. And he instantly just fell in love with it. It reminded him of his family. And he was just like, let's turn this into a movie. And then at first it was going to be like an indie movie with just $7 productions.
Yeah.
But then MGM and Warner Bros. And all these people, like Lionsgate, sorry. And, you know, all these people were like, this is great. We want to get that too. And then you add people like Florence Pugh and Nick Frost, Selena Hetty, and just, you know, Vince Vaughn. I mean, we had such a great cast and they all just did such an amazing job.
Great movie, straight up. Yeah. Your story is so crazy. That movie should actually be a trilogy, right? Because the middle one should be like a little bit like getting knocked on your butt, because every hero.
Yeah.
And then the third one would be like what you're up to now and what's about to happen, the comeback.
Yeah. Well, the second one should be like PG-13 at least, you know?
Yeah. And about that, like a couple of years back, I was so miserable on Wall Street, even though I was making money. Like, I was waking up on Mondays. I couldn't wait for Friday. And I was so anxious about the future and depressed about the past. I wasn't where I thought I'd be. And, like, no, we didn't go through the same thing. But, like, my pain was my pain. Your pain was your pain. And when you're in that, like, you're so invested in this story. Yeah. Is this it for me? Like, will I ever climb out of this? Then you realize, wait a minute, I do have a choice, right? I can practice gratitude. I can do other things. And one of the parts of your story that always moves me that I hear you talk about is you were so embarrassed to call your family, and then you called your pops, and right away he kind of put you at ease. He's like, big deal. Like, it just so happens that you're in the limelight. I know he made a joke about, look at Kim Kardashian, but
I think
having that rock of support was very liberating. So you can kind of climb out. Is that right?
1,000%. Yeah. I was so mortified, first of all, that people can see me in those positions, you know, and just like, and like they've seen all of me, which is just absolutely awful and humiliating itself. And I do not wish that upon anybody.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I was just like, my family's going to see that. They're going to be so embarrassed of me and they're going to be ashamed of me. But yeah, as soon as I called him, he was just like, you're fine. Like, what are you talking about? What are you crying about? Yeah. He was just like, it happens. He was like, it happens to a lot of people, and a lot of people do what you do. It's just because you're in the spotlight, you know, and people want to make a buck off you. And that's what happened, you know. And it was still a bad time for me, but it definitely helped to know that my family was still proud of me no matter what. The only thing that I would always worry about is like, that's not something that I want to be remembered by. But at the same time, I'm just like, okay, if people know me like that, then they know that I hit rock bottom in that moment and I survived it, which I feel like could help a lot of men and women
100%.
From making the same mistake that I did, but also to know if it does happen to them, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, like, because I think this is very, everybody has either been through some shit or is going through something, especially like the last few years and so forth. Like, how dark did it get for you? And what were you really, like, what was really the determining factor for you to really like have hope and really start to climb out and spread your wings again?
Yeah. So it was, well, it got so low that I wanted to kill myself. I was cutting my wrists, you know. It was like, I never thought I'd be that person to self-harm. I was just like, why would you ever do that to yourself? But like you get to such a dark place, it's the only thing that you can really feel. On top of that, doing drugs and stuff like that, it kind of like all is like your brain chemistry a little bit where you're just all over the place. And I was just so sad. And then again, seeing that little girl really helped me. Having, you know, WWE reach out to me and was like, we'll bring you back to training like right now. You just let us know. And I did. And they got me on a plane. And they took me straight back to Orlando.
What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action. Drop in gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to CultivateLastingSymphony.com and then bang, enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig?
They were very supportive, right?
100%. They got me, my therapist, his name was Bob, and he was my drugs and alcohol therapist. And then he got me with two other therapists located where I was that I could speak to in person weekly, you know, and just about life and not just about addiction, but just with everything. I was really, really struggling, and they pulled me out of that. And the fact that, you know, once I got out of like that relationship, you know, like I surrounded myself with good people. And then I end up falling in love with one of my friends that was, you know, I was friends with for over 5 years, and we've been together now for 5 years as well. So we've known each other 10 years altogether, but Ronnie really, you know, brought me out of that hole, and he got me completely sober. You know, he was like, I'll stop drinking with you. Like, let's do it. And then, you know, so we did that. And then helped me dieting, like eating healthier. And we were vegan for the last 5 years, you know, and like stopped vaping, even smoking cigarettes and stuff. Like I stopped everything, and I went to the gym and got healthy, and just, you know, I continue my therapy even like, you know, all these years later, I still do therapy every single week. And I encourage that. You have to find a therapist that you enjoy there, because you have therapists and you don't really click with, you have to, doesn't matter how many different therapists you go for, you'll eventually find someone that you really enjoy talking to and who you really click with. And that's super important.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you brought that up, right? Because society sometimes frowns upon, like, whether it's a man or really anyone, like talking about mental health and stuff like that. But one of the best things that you can do is talk about it, whether it's a therapist, a good friend, a confidant, whomever it is, to kind of speak about it and ask for support.
Oh, 100%. With therapy, or just talking to someone, like you can speak to a friend about something and you instantly feel a lot better. But it's always good to speak to a professional, because they can tell you how to change it or how to think a little differently, or what's going to help you in the long run, you know, like, and give you ideas on what you can do every single day to really help yourself. So yeah, it instantly feels better. Like everyone knows that feeling of getting something off your chest and just being like, wow, like I feel so much lighter now. Now just, imagine doing that to someone who professionally, you know, learned how to talk to somebody that has those mental health issues. Yep. And it's just wonderful. I really do encourage everyone to give it a try, or even just, again, like you said, just talk to a friend or something like that, and really just let things
off. You see so many people, like, on social media, it looks like everything's going great, the highlight reels, and then next thing you know, like, they took their life, or
it's crazy.
It is.
I always say to people, like, I delete social media off my phone a lot, because you do need a mental health, right? Yeah, I just can't. I just need it off. And like, people will write to me and stuff on there, and I won't get back to them for like a week sometimes, because I'm just like, anyone who's important to me, they have my number anyway. But at the same time, like, it's just, you need that break from it, because social media isn't real. You know, like, people will post everything that they're doing that they probably did like 2 years ago, and they're posting it right now. You know, oh, they just want to look like they're having a great time. But some people are really struggling. And then also, you get really fucking toxic, mean people on there too, that goes out of their way to try and ruin your day, or, like, you know, push you to that. Because a lot of people have took their life just because they were pushed that, like that on from social media. So again, it's not worth it for, like, to give people that much access to me. So I will delete it. And I encourage other people to delete it and do something else, you know, and you'll instantly feel better with that too. Even if it's just for a day, you take social media off your phone, or even set a limit to how much you can look at social media a day, you know, and then your phone, you can add a limit to your phone, I think, and then it won't let you access it.
Yeah, it's refreshing. You know, I'm going 100 miles an hour right now because we're building the brand and we get the book coming out and so many different things. Mm-hmm. Social media is a big part of the business, but I know exactly what you mean. Like at the end of the night, I like to just kind of put it in there and then just hang out with it for a little bit. And I don't even want to look at it. And it's not expecting anything bad or anything like that. It's just, it's a lot. And you're related. Yeah. Like it's a real thing these days because it's 23, like addiction, stuff like that. Like you have to really work on your relationship with social media. Straight up.
Also, social media is your new business card these days. Like it is your business card, and you do have to post on it. Like you do have to, you know, especially if you have a business, like it's such a great tool to have. But like, you know, you can get to the stage too. Like mine's more of like a personal account where I let them into my personal life and what I'm doing or what I'm doing at work or when my next signing is, you know, like that kind of stuff. So it's always good for those kind of people to like take a step back. Like your personal social media, that's not business. You know what I mean? Like it's good to just decompress, put it down. Like once you get home, like put your phone down at a certain time before you go to bed, you know, because you're going to sleep better if you put your phone down in general. But
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is too much fun. We'll land the plane with a couple fun ones.
Okay.
When you were, I know you're a diehard fan. You come from the family and so forth. When you were growing up, who's your favorite wrestler?
Oh man, Stone Cold. Stone Cold was my favorite. Lita too. Like I dressed like Lita for Halloween. I would steal my mom's thongs and put them above my hips. You know, I just was, and I feel so lucky to be friends with her now. Like I'm like, I still have to pinch myself and be like, oh my gosh, I'm friends with Amy, you know, she's so cool. But yeah, I was obsessed with her when I was growing up. I also, you know, loved Bull Nakano because she stood out a bunch, you know, she wasn't like your typical diva. I loved her. So yeah, those three, and Edge. I loved Edge.
I imagine Edge inspires you. How long was he gone for? 9-10 years?
Yeah, it was like 9 years. It was a very long time. And like, he was awesome when I had to retire. You know, he spoke to me before I had to go out and do my speech, and he was very encouraging. He was like, you're going to feel a lot better. And then as soon as I said I was coming back, he instantly reached out to me again, and he was just like, congratulations, you know? And then like, he gave me like a pep talk with that too. And he's just like, there's a quote that I always say, but it's don't listen to people that try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that, but the real greats make you think that you too can become great. And so like the real greats like Edge and stuff, like they encourage you to be your best. Wait, you know, and he's the epitome of that person.
Can you run that back? That was awesome. Can you please run that back?
Yeah. You want me to say it again?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's don't listen to people that try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that, but the real greats make you think that you too can become great.
That's it.
That's why I always like, you know, learning from people like him and stuff like that. Like, you know, me continuing on in my journey, like I'm always going to try and uplift everybody and encourage everybody and tell everybody that how awesome they are, you know, and yours. You also don't want to be that asshole in the business that is jealous and tries to discredit everything you do, or be like people on social media that want to discredit you or belittle you. You know, you don't be like those people. Yeah. Be more like Edge.
100%. And like, as our brand starts to ascend and so forth, like, trust me when I tell you, and I know you agree with this, like winners don't have time to hate. Like everyone likes this. Like, even if you don't like someone, I imagine like, game recognized game, like good job, like you see somebody typing, even if you had a beef with them, like you respect.
Yeah,
like you don't
have there's people like there I can't stand. There's absolutely people I can't stand, but I would never be unprofessional.
No,
I would always still be supportive. I would work with them every day of the week, you know, because I know like I'm professional, and they know what they're doing too. We may not like, you know, mesh well as friends, but hey, outside of that, I can be professional for sure.
Yeah, this was so much fun. I know it's just the beginning of the friendship. I tried to not do too much wrestling stuff and like talk about like real life stuff and let other people really like get access to you on that level, because there's some stuff, and I just wanted to let you know, like I'm really proud of you. It's so good to see you. Number one, back in the ring, obviously, but like you've been through some shit. Like I imagine you have a new level of peace to you and tranquility.
Yes.
beautiful to see. And I'm curious, I'm sure the audience is now, what are you most excited about right now? I get this feeling that you're working on some stuff outside the ring.
I'm definitely working on some stuff outside the ring. I can't say anything right now. I can say one thing. I am writing a book, which I'm really excited about.
Hi.
So I'll announce the title of it soon. It's really, really cool. But yeah, I'm in the process of doing it like every single day. Like, you know, my head's down and writing this thing. And yeah, it gives you, because I feel like people always hear like the internet side of the story of like my life, and no one's really heard it really in detail from me. So it's like, okay, this is what happened from my life from when I was a kid up until this point. And, you know, now you can stop talking about it. But yeah. So it's going to feel good. It's going to be like my therapy, you know, doing this book. And I'm excited for people to get their hands on it. But yeah, I'm working on other things too. I can't really say too much right now, but eventually I will. And people are going to be super pumped. So
hell yeah, they are. And we just wrapped up our manuscript. We got a big book deal with Wiley. It comes out in August. It was so therapeutic. I didn't know what to expect. It was my first time, but I really found a beautiful process, and it just poured out of me. Have you started yet? And if so, what's your process been like?
Yeah, it's been really good. So I don't know how much detail I can give out about these people yet, but yeah, I have like a really solid team, and I've been on Zoom calls like 3 to 4 days a week, and it would be for a couple of hours. So like we can really like, you know, nail down these stories. They've been Zoom calling family members, you know, so like, you know, we can get like everything, like just from everybody's perspective as well. Like you'll see like little snippets from different quotes from different people, you know. It's just like a long process, and it's like kind of tedious at the same time. Like it's a lot, and it's mentally kind of draining when you have to try to remember every little detail. You're like, I don't want to fuck up like times and dates and all that kind of stuff. So like, I have to like do some research too, just to like, you know, remember like the times and dates of certain things. But yeah. And then also when you're like trying to remember like your story, you'll like forget stuff, and then it'll come up like later on. You'll remember it later on, be like, oh shit, can we go back to that part again? I just remembered, you know. So it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work, but it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, but you said early in the conversation, like you didn't want people to remember some of the other stuff. Well, this is going to be part of your legacy, and it's going to be beautiful.
Thank you, dude. You're so nice. Thank you so much.
My puppy wants to say hello.
Yes, bring in the puppy. Yeah.
3 months old, Raya. This is Whiskey.
What's his name? Whiskey?
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Oh, little baby. My dog can hear me talking.
Feed him.
So sweet.
Your dogs are big, right?
Yeah, this is Lobster. He's a pit bull. Lobster. I like pit bulls because I feel like they're Lobster. Yeah. I feel like they're misunderstood. And this is Aussie.
Such a handsome cat.
Yeah, they're definitely my good boys, and they're like obsessed with their mama. But yeah, I like pit bulls because again, they're misunderstood, and I feel like I'm very misunderstood at times.
Fair enough.
So I relate to them so much. They're big sweethearts there. And I like to think I'm a big sweetheart here sometimes.
You are. Hang up for 1 second. I just want to connect with you after.
Yeah.
Saraya, I want you to know you're the definition of perspective, authenticity, and resilience. I could personally your best is yet to come. Keep on spreading your wings and leaving your mark on this world. So much love and respect for you. Thank you so much for stopping by and dropping these priceless, juicy nuggets today.
Thanks, dude. Thank you so much for having me.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, it was easy too. Thank you so much, dude.
Those are the best, more conversational.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd
love to be connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. You have to come to one of the shows as well.
For AW?
Yeah.
Are you guys ever out here in New York?
We're always out there. We're always out there. Like we were just there 2 weeks ago, actually. But we're in Long Island. But yeah, if you enjoy AEW, I feel like you're more of a WWE fan, but yeah.
Full disclosure, I grew up WWE. I'm excited about AEW. A lot of my friends are there. I've had a bunch of them on the show. And competition breeds success.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good for the business, honestly.
Yeah, but also, yeah, it's like whenever people would get released from WWE, it would be like hugely disappointing. But now there's other companies where wrestlers can thrive, and that's all you can ask for, so it's awesome.
Yeah, 100%. Do you run your own Instagram, or you have like a team that does it?
Well, there's me and my team that does it, but yeah, I'm on there too. But yeah, I'll follow you on there right now.
Yeah,
just let me know.
Let's stay connected as well. We'll support each other.
1000%, dude. And yeah, anytime you want to come to a show, let me know and I'll bring you back.
I would love that. Can we exchange numbers?
Sure.
Do you have your phone? I'll give you mine.
I don't. Well, I'm on my phone right now,
Oh,
but I can just give you mine right now.
All right, go ahead. I'll shoot you a text.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.